Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, if there's ever area of change that I love to dabble in, both in my own professional way, my family way, personal way, and on the air for Circles of Change, is in the educational field. So what a delight to have Dr. Benna Kallick with us. Welcome to the show, Benna. How are you this morning?
I'm just fine. Thank you, Zara. It was fun to find out that you were originally or sometime in Farmington, Connecticut, right near where I am.
Exactly. That's right. Old home week. In fact, I'm coming your way, so I'm getting ready to pack my woolies.
Not yet. It's not too bad.
Not too bad. Well, very good. Well, let me introduce Benna to our listeners. She's a private consultant serving school districts, state departments of education, professional organizations, and public agencies throughout the U.S. and abroad. She's indeed a serial entrepreneur, having created a children's museum based on problem solving and invention, as well as coordinated a high school alternative, which is designed for at-risk students. Benna is a co-founder of Performance Pathways, which is now owned by SunGuard, and the software they develop provides a practical, easy-to-use integrated suite for curriculum mapping and assessment tracking and reporting, from which then schools can really improve their performance. She most recently became the co-founder, again, here we go, for EduPlanet 21. That's EduPlanet 21. Which is a company designed to bring professional development for teachers into 21st century models. Benna received a doctorate in educational evaluation, specializing on group dynamics, creative and critical thinking, as well as alternative classroom assessment strategies. No stranger to that, because she's then employed it in her work. She's also a scholar of published journal articles and books. The most prominently recognized is with her co-author Art Costa, that focuses on the habits of mind. And their work really has been translated into 6 foreign languages, plus she's had teaching appointments that have included Yale University School of Organizational Management, the University of Massachusetts Center for Creative and Critical Thinking, and the Union Graduate School. She's then indeed co-founder of the Institute for Habits of Mind. In fact, that's the website, instituteforhabitsofmind.com, with Dr. Arthur Costa. And Benna is involved at an international level then in transforming schools into places where thinking and habits of mind are taught, practiced, valued, and become really infused into the culture of the school and our community. Why don't we start, in fact, right there, Benna, and tell us what do we mean by habits of mind?
Okay, well, what we mean by habits of mind is their attitudes or dispositions that we really want to cultivate. Their attitudes and dispositions for being willing to lend yourself to more developed thinking. So, for example, what you're doing with me right now, which is we're using a habit of mind that's called communicating with clarity and precision.
Mm-hmm.
So the two of us kind of know that when we're speaking, we need to be speaking in clear terms and be precise about what we're saying, as opposed to what we hear students say, which is, oh, that was awesome. We want them to be able to say, what was awesome about it? Tell us more about what you can describe in your experience. When kids are being asked to work in a group, we want them to use a habit of mind that we refer to as listening with understanding and empathy. So we want them to not only be able to listen when the teacher says, for example, okay, listen up, but right. We also want them to be interactively listening and learning how to take in another person's perspective and be able to interact with that. So the habits of mind are those attitudes and dispositions that help us to be successful in life as well as in school.
Well, and of course, that comes right on top of so much dialogue nationwide at minimum, let alone globally, of course, from your vantage point, about really equipping our youth for the 21st century and beyond. And it's a whole different set of skills, but I think you would say mindsets, than what perhaps we've had in recent years.
Well, I think definitely in some ways it's new, and in some ways it's ever more.
Right.
I mean, I think that what's new about it for all of us in the 21st century, and by the way, I love it when people think of the 21st century as if it's about to happen when we're already 13 years into it.
Right.
But I think what's really the greatest impact, clearly, has been the uses of technology and our understanding how to behave differently given the access to technology. So yes, I think that's really made a tremendous impact, and it does give us a different mindset in this regard. I think we've always had the understanding of the importance of learning, but now I think the mindset is shifting so that we might say, instead of just needing to know the right answer to something, we now need to know how to behave when the answer is not immediately apparent, and we have to really pick up cues and problem solve and be able to think more innovatively rather than just saying, oh, I passed the test, I've gotten this score, and now I can go out and do my work. The work is really thought work now.
I think it's fascinating, Benna, that given your background and your doctoral studies that were so heavy in the evaluation, assessment, and then corrective action and process improvement should have you really, I think, working on the other end of the rope at this point. Fascinating.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think certainly one of the things that we're not putting enough attention to in this so-called accountability age is that numbers don't describe everything that's really important. And I am always concerned that we're not really able to have good, solid measures and communication about what's really most important sometimes. So I've dedicated a lot of work to thinking about how we could use portfolios, how we can use observations, how we can help students become more self-assessing, so that in fact we're not just limiting them to what's easily measured, but that we can really measure what's valuable.
I think also the fact that we see more and more, well, you know, there was the day when you didn't really do much cross-functional teaming even until you got to graduate school. And now to see in our technology programs, particularly the STEM programs, seeing that kind of work at the freshman level and then back it into high school, middle school, and elementary school, that it's more representative of what you want life to be. So it's not the buy the book, take the class, take the test, move on.
Right. Well, you know, we've worked so hard to get people out of the silos that never were meant to be. I think when people worked on cultivating and developing disciplines, which really meant what's the discipline of mind that you need in order to be able to think deeply in a particular area. And somehow that got increasingly deeper and more narrow as we moved along. And now what I think people are realizing is that those silos don't really define the world at large in other ways. And so, you know, we're working very hard to help people understand about things, not just in STEM, because STEM, again, is looking at science, technology, engineering, mathematics. And sometimes, in fact, now I think they're calling it STEAM.
Absolutely, with the arts.
That they're bringing in the arts.
You betcha, with the arts.
But, you know, I mean, I think what we really want to make sure is that we're thinking cross-disciplinary or interdisciplinary in all the different areas and the power of that. So one of the ways that we look at it is to develop project-based learning, because projects give you the opportunity to do two things, many things, but two that become important in this conversation. One is they give you the opportunity to really think in broader ways, using thinking about things in a cross-disciplinary way, but also it gives you the opportunity to practice your habits
exactly,
of mind,
yeah.
Because a project really isn't defined by the teacher. It's defined by either the group or the individual.
That's right. So I would say then the fact that your work now is also shifted to include so richly the educating of educators, because, boy, if there's ever a frontier that's changed then is the teachers themselves, that perhaps the methodologies approach their own education needs to be replenished in a new place.
Yeah, well, I think that was what really intrigued me and my partner, Jeff Colosimo, to develop EduPlanet 21. Mm-hmm. It was because we had the realization that if we don't start bringing teachers into a different way of learning, then it's not likely they're going to start helping the students learn differently. So let's say, for example, I think the students today are pretty savvy in terms of social media. But I'm not sure they're as savvy in terms of how you become a good digital citizen, for example, or how you really make the best use of some of the Web 2.0 tools to be intellectually more rigorous in the work that you're doing. But if the teachers don't have an opportunity to practice that in the way that they're learning, then it gets increasingly more distant and more abstract. So what we did was we tried to model that kind of thinking by helping teachers to be more self-directed, by using a combination of what we would call blended learning, which is what we're also promoting for classroom teachers. And that is that you make a good blend of how do you make the best use of the opportunity when you are face-to-face with the instructor? How do you make the best opportunity of digital content that provides you with expertise and accessibility easily? And then how do you join a social media or a social learning opportunity where you then learn as much from one another as you do from the experts? That's what we've done with EduPlanet 21.
And that type of blended learning for educators, of course, then, is reflective of what the classroom settings that are most optimized are wanting to demonstrate, too.
Exactly. And it's just, I mean, it just makes sense, although I know that we don't always think of it as making sense, that we have to really treat teachers in a way that assumes that they have a higher degree of credibility, integrity, are prepared to do the kind of work that's necessary. I think so often they take the brunt of whatever disappointments people have in the educational system, which is really not that teachers don't need to and will get better and do get better, but I think that the point is what are the methods and ways that we're offering teachers in order to get better, and I think that we've come up with something that's very rich and is very respectful of teachers and their work.
Do you think then, Benna, that this call to action and this the methodology of blended learning, I mean, on one hand, your work is to help those who are already educators shift to become the educators of the future. What about deploying this understanding in the actual educational learning systems that are starting for those who are attracted to come into the field for the first time?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that we would hope that we would have some influence with higher education, which is, I assume, what you're referencing.
Sure.
For example, pre-service, when teachers
right.
are just beginning to learn to be teachers. And I think that the issues that we have now more than ever are that really the work that you need to learn how to do is very job embedded. You need to be in the school to understand it. And I think that we as a country have to begin to develop and understand better how to acknowledge the fact that you need both content knowledge. That means if you're going to be a teacher of mathematics, you need to know mathematics. And you also need to know pedagogy, which means you need to know how to deal with kids and you need to know how to use some of the most current and important trends to learn that.
Yep.
And that you need to have access to the kinds of practices that will really help you to grow and to learn. So we have to really put all of that together in our influence of having teachers have more time in schools as they're learning to become teachers.
Was it a personal wake-up call, Benna, for yourself that you got in this particular area of professional development for educators, or was it a more organic shift for you personally?
Well, you know, it's always a combination of all of the above. I mean, the first thing is that it was certainly a personal wake-up call when our third child had some difficulties with speech and with learning. And so that, of course, put me very attuned to it. My background in the first work that I did was all in psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got very interested and intrigued with what would help this young man learn. And one of the things that I realized very early was that some of the issues he had were not different from issues that many urban kids had, which was you need to really be able to communicate and be more verbal if you are really not going to be more physical.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of got me into a whole realm of thinking about what would it take to help kids to have the kind of opportunities in schools where they could be both verbal and at the same time learn through more experiential ways. And I think that was my first entree into education.
Interesting. That's really great. Well, you just came back from Malaysia, so I know that there are other places that you're doing your work, and EduPlanet is indeed intended to be on the planet. Tell us what unfolded there.
Well, it was very exciting. It was especially excited for Arcosta myself because that was a conference that was dedicated to habits of mind. It was an international habits of mind conference held in Kuala Lumpur. And it really was exciting. It was obviously exciting for us to see the impact of our work. People from Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, many of the Asian countries were there. And it was just very exciting. I actually had lunch with the Prime Minister's wife, so that was pretty cool.
Absolutely. Well, that's the so that perspective of the global reach of what you're involved in, that just must be so thrilling.
It is. We have affiliates in New Zealand, in Singapore, in Australia, in England, in Wales, and Sweden. I can't remember. And now we have some in Malaysia as well.
And so really what you're sharing with us then is that the kind of issues and opportunities really transcend regardless of what nationality or geography you're in. That this is
definitely
transparent, yeah.
Yeah, the one I forgot was Hong Kong, just to mention. what I would say is what we learn is that there's a hunger for this work, that regardless of what you think about content, we know that people are concerned with, people call it different things. Some, like, for example, in Paul Tuff's book, he calls it grit.
Mm-hmm.
In the work that Carol Dweck does, she calls it the mindset. In the work that, you know, many different people from all over are talking about, Daniel Pink in his work mm-hmm. on motivation calls it drive. But what it all has in common is this need and this desire to really cultivate and develop the intellectual dispositions of students.
Right, so that it's self-navigable. It takes the initiative. And in some regards, possibly part of this is also unpacking what we've slathered on top of ourselves over the years and maybe get back to some of our, you know, more innocent, youthful, creative, innovative, why not, part of our phase of personal development.
Well, you know, it's really what made this country great, and it's really sad in some ways to see that it's being suppressed by other things that are imitative of countries that we never would have really imitated in the past.
Yeah, that's right. But that is also the global nature of everything right now. So take advantage. And eduplanet.org or eduplanet21.org is part of that. So part of your work, of course, you just launched an online course, I understand. What would be the nature of that class?
Well, we do that, of course, with Eduplanet.
Yep.
And, you know, what it is it's a combination of four what we call learning paths, and we call them learning paths rather than courses intentionally to break that mindset, to say that a course is really a beginning, middle, and end. A learning path is a pathway to continuous learning. And so when you take this, you don't get it for a limited amount of time. You get all the digital content and all the materials as long as you've, in other words, it's like buying a book. You buy this and you get it, and therefore it can become job embedded. So what we've done is we've done one, the first one that we did was on introducing the habits of mind. The second one is on activating and engaging the habits of mind in the classroom. The third one is a journey for continuous learning, which talks about how you sustain the work that you're doing. And the fourth one is on assessing and then learning how to both assess and report on growth in relationship to the habits of mind.
And is this,
so those four.
And Benna, is this targeted in any specific section of K through 12 or higher ed?
Well, we target it basically at K-12. We don't really separate, you know, elementary and secondary, although we give lots of examples, and each example is embedded in either the context of elementary or secondary. As far as higher ed is concerned, it's absolutely useful there because it's generalizable enough, but I'm not sure how many people in higher ed are using it.
Mm-hmm, that's right. I introduced you, Benna, at the onset by saying you're a serial entrepreneur. So I'll back up for those who may have not heard the intro to mention you got involved in creating a children's museum, Alternatives High School for At-Risk Kids. You know, here you are now continuing to play the field broader and broader through technology and the like. Any idea what's next for you? Am I going to see you back now charting another museum? Where's the circling back here now?
You know, it's funny. It all feels like it's going in the same direction.
Same direction, yeah.
You know, I think it's always been about children at the center, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is about thinking, because I've always been very interested in cultivating the best thinking possible. I deeply believe that everyone has the capability way beyond what they're being stretched to do, because we've so narrowly defined how we account for and measure that capability. So I think everything I've done has sort of tried to push that frontier.
And I like that, because you're right. Whenever it's the classic, well, tell me how you measure me, I'll tell you how I behave, And I don't know that there have been enough individuals, and I applaud your pursuing that to say, you know, maybe there's really things we have to unlock in the whole measurement assessment end of the deal to allow the flourishing of the upfront.
Exactly.
And of course, you did touch on the continued role of technology, that some of that is just making change happen so fast that we're not even aware of what the treadmill that we're on, or that we even were at a juncture point to make a choice.
And we've become so impatient. I mean, I have to say that I just observe, even with this latest issue with technology at the national level around the healthcare issue, you know, as much as I would wish that hadn't happened that way, I have to say I have a little sympathy for it, because I know just how complex it is to pull off a large system. So we've become very impatient on, you know, how do we do this, and how do we do this to the benefit of the many, many people we're trying to account to. One of the reasons that I really like working with my partner, Jeff Colosimo, on EduPlanet 21 is that we've created something that's nimble enough and flexible enough that we can keep accommodating and customizing to people. And I think that's the real value of technology. And I feel like he's just a master of being able to manage a company that does that. I think I think it takes that kind of partnership of somebody who has the creative juices around the content and the creative juices around the technology to really make something happen. Too often it's either one side or the other.
Or I think the other side, when anybody mentions, well, here's the software package, but we can customize it for you, that doesn't necessarily equate to flexible, nimble, quick, or cost-effective. So to
exactly.
be able to do those at the same time, it's sort of like embedded in the cake. It's the same, but it's the frosting and the number of layers of frostings to serve whichever client you want to get involved with.
And I think for me, all of that just models the habits of mind.
Yeah,
which always brings
good
me
point.
Back to
brings
that.
Back the habits of mind. Well, I thank you for introducing me to that term and the readings I've done in anticipation of indeed our conversation today for our listeners. It's instituteforhabitsofmind.com, as well as it's eduplanet21.org, correct?
No, .com.
Thank you. So you can learn about the four learning paths that Ben is available. Ben, how do you think you've changed the most by helping others change?
Oh, boy, that's a hard one.
I know. I do it every time, don't I?
I know, Sarah. That's a hard one. I mean, I think I've changed the most in that I've attuned to more people, more understanding of how people think and grow, and that I've discovered creativity and capability I never imagined. I feel kind of like Topsy. I just grew.
Which is great. So that's good, because the world needs more of you, not less, even at this wonderful phase of your career as well. Well, Ben Akalik, thank you so much for joining us here on Circles of Change, and we'll look forward to continuing to support and spread the good word about your work.
Thank you for inviting me.
My delightful pleasure. Well, indeed, I hope my guests and I today offered you some targeted advice to help those of you in the midst of a career organizational change. And who knows, maybe based on what you heard today, you're going to go make a change, in which case we'd love to support you, and I could directly connect you privately to any of our guests. Please do spread the good word from Circles of Change and what we're up to. We've got now over 1,000 podcasts out on thelarsongroup.com. That's Larson with an E. And today's podcast, we'll post them by no later than Tuesday, so you can go re-listen, rethink, relearn, and then come on Friday. If you carry a mobile smartphone, just send the opt-in text message of DRZARA in the message field. So Dr. Zara, send that to 313131. And then every Friday afternoon, you'll get a one-click access into the cloud to listen to the podcast. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.